You are now listening to Alias, Smith, and the Roy.
Hey, everybody.
Hey!
What it do, what it does. I'm excited about this one.
Because it's a podcast.
Cast of pods.
Cast of pods.
Cast of pod on the peace pad.
Yeah, and yeah. I just have to say, this is our very, very first
mobile. Was on the road with this.
We went
on
the road. Yeah, we went on the road for this one. All the way to Glendale.
It's an important man, so you know, yes. you gotta. People have a limited amount of time.
You go to them.
You go to them.
My man, he was getting on a flight the next day to fly to Japan.
Domo arigato.
To entertain the troops.
The troops.
And we had just finished doing a full day work where we taped 7 shows of his game show, Let's Ask America. So we did 7 of those.
7 in one day?
Did 7 of those, and he had his son with him all day at work, who's adorable. And so he was being a dad, on-camera host.
Right.
And he was, you know, trying to do everything all at once. And we pulled it off. And so that was after like a 10, 12-hour day or whatever. He made time for us to talk to us for, we got an hour and some change.
And
it was great. It was great. The person we're talking about, ladies and gentlemen, is Mr.
Bizzell Bizzellamy.
William Bizzell Bellamy.
Bill Bellamy, man.
Mr. Bellamy.
Always cool, always funny. And so.
It's a nice career.
Yeah, nice career. You know what's crazy too? Like, I asked him, we didn't talk about it on the podcast, but this rapper, I can't think of his name right now, but he did a lyric where he said he dissed Bill. And I asked Bill about it. And the lyric was something like, fall off like Bill Bellamy or something.
Right.
And I asked Bill, how'd that make you feel when you heard that? He said, he's always funny, man. He said to me, he goes, I didn't know I fell off. That made me laugh so hard. Cause like I was working, but he's like, he didn't even let it bother him. He was like, man, you know, it's just young kids doing it. And you know, he's working a lot. He has a career. Like
right.
But just the fact that he's also what surprised me about Bill, cause this is my first time working with him in this capacity, is just how honest he is. Like, he's eternally honest and very aware. Like, more aware than you would think. You know what I mean?
Right.
Which makes him really cool. Yeah, so. What were you about to say? You pulled up something?
No, this is something else. Don't worry about
that. Oh. Yeah, man. But
take a listen,
it's
though.
It's, you know, this dude, you got to listen to this. And he's going to come back and do more, because we got to talk about, like, the MTV. He has so many stories. Like,
right.
We're trying to get him to do a podcast because Bill has so many stories. But he was nice enough to share.
Yeah.
Some with us
after that long day.
Yeah,
yeah.
Took some time out before getting on that flight to go entertain some troops. So, you know, good guy doing good stuff.
Yeah.
So here he is, Bizzell Bizzellamy.
There it is.
All right.
This is happening. This is real. All right. I'm going to tell you what we do here. This is how it goes. I got your Wikipedia page up, sir.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to read some of this stuff. And then you're going to tell me if what they say about you is accurate.
Right. Yeah,
and
it's
if
all
it's not.
Weird and crazy.
And you can correct.
Slide the table a little closer. You can be up on the mic. All right.
Get up on the mic like a new rapper.
Yeah. Something like that.
My album be out tomorrow.
You got to use your posture today, man. You got to use your posture. I hope your core muscles are strong.
Yeah.
No doubt.
Hit it.
Here we go. William Bill Bellamy.
Uh-oh. Mm-hmm.
Can I tell your birthday?
No, I don't want nobody to know.
Born April 7th.
There we go.
All right.
Is an American actor and stand-up comedian.
You American?
Sometimes.
Bellamy.
Most of the time.
Bellamy first gained national notoriety on HBO's Russell Simmons Deaf Comedy Jam, where he is credited for creating or coining the phrase booty call.
This is true.
This is true. Nice. Described as a late night call to a potential paramour with the intention of meeting strictly for sex.
Absolutely.
Have you ever used the word paramour?
Never.
You should do that.
That's a nice baby. I didn't say that. I called you paramour.
Paramour. All right.
Why are you getting offended? You a paramour.
Yeah,
Bellamy is African American.
Absolutely.
He attended Seton Hall Preparatory School in South Orange, New Jersey, now located in West Orange, before moving on to major in economics at Rutgers University.
This is true.
Wow, look at you. For many years, Bellamy was a staple on MTV, a VJ, and host of several MTV programs, including MTV Jams, MTV Beach House, went on to star in a number of movies, including Fled, Love Jones, The Brothers, How to Be a Player, Getting Played, and Any Given Sunday.
What?
Also appeared on two episodes, count them two, of the show Kenan and Kel.
Yeah, I was on two episodes. Oh, I can't believe it.
Oh, we're hitting it out of the park on Wikipedia, which usually people have some good.
Nice.
Additionally, he played Skeeter on the Nickelodeon television show Cousin Skeeter.
Absolutely.
Very cool.
Skeeter was a puppet. You actually voiced the puppet.
Yeah,
Skeeter.
I was his voice. Yeah,
you didn't personality came play through Skeeter.
Yeah.
And let's see, in 2002, Bill Bellamy was given a co-starring role in the Fox Network television show Fastlane alongside Peter Facinelli.
Yeah! Dramatic turn.
And Tiffany
Action Star.
Action Star, Mick G. Mick G, right?
Mick G, man. That was a big deal. Really, really talented.
It was a big Mick G year.
Yeah, that was a Mick G era.
Yeah. Charlie's Angels, the whole thing.
He came from the video world.
Oh, did he?
And he was a video director, and he started making, TV shows. He produced Fastlane. He went on to do the OC.
All right.
And then from there, once he got his production deal through TV, he started making big action flicks. It was crazy.
Boom. More about you, less about him. Bellamy is, I know we're wrong here. Bellamy is the current host and executive producer of Bill Bellamy's Who's Got Jokes?
I know.
On TV. What are you the current host of?
I am the current host of Let's Ask America.
Yeah.
It is a game show full of pop culture topics that we are like from entertainment to relationships to children to anything that's a relevant topic. We talk about it on the show. The cool part about the show for me that really interested me and thought would make it a really fun place to be is that all the contestants are coming in through Skype. So I'm in the studio with a live audience and all my contestants are Skyping from all over the country. And I think that's kind of cool. It's like we're using the technology to meet people. It's like FaceTiming with people.
All right. So I want to get back to the technology in one second because this is interesting to me. And here's the last thing I'm reading out of your bio thing here. Bellamy is also the cousin of basketball player Shaquille O'Neal?
Yes.
Really?
Yes, sir. Yes,
oh, wow. Second cousin.
Yeah, his mom and my mom.
Right.
They are first cousins, so that makes us. Like,
did you all know each other growing up?
Or? Oh, yeah. Of course. I mean, he wasn't Shaquille O'Neal, right? You know, he was just a big-ass
greedy.
He was a big greedy kid like everybody else.
Hey, families are weird, man. I think I got like 22 first cousins, and I haven't met six of them.
Absolutely. And you know what's interesting, too? It's like, you know, when you become famous or things start popping for you, you know, you start meeting more people that because they just go, oh, man, I didn't even know. Like, I just found out recently I'm related to Roy Jones Jr. as well.
Damn.
Yeah.
Mama that's crazy. Knock you out.
Yeah, it's crazy, woo, man. Yeah. We got some talent coming out this gene pool.
Ladies and gentlemen, Bill Bellamy.
Hey! What's up?
What's up?
All right. Using the internet to do a television show, you don't think that's dangerous?
You know what? It is absolutely a lot of fun. I mean, the thing about it is sometimes the technology will, you know, go down. Like, for instance, sometimes, we drop out.
Right.
You know, it is like a phone call.
And no weird shit pops back up.
Right. No, no.
You ever been on Chat Roulette?
I told him about it.
No, he told me about it. I never heard of it.
Well, all I got to say, if you want to see a guy's dick, get on Chat Roulette.
So you just, anything could come up.
Anything could come up.
No, I need to know.
Usually a guy's dick will come up.
Yeah, like I need, you know, clicks. I don't really feel comfortable with the internet like that because it's too wild.
I
need to know what's going to pop up.
If you get on Chat Roulette, a guy's dick is going to pop up.
It's going to pop up, so I ain't messing with
just
that.
Just stay off Chat Roulette.
It should be called Dick Roulette.
Yeah.
Well, you know, because girls don't do that.
Right.
There's a few. There's a few, but usually girls are not on the internet showing off, you know, the stuff for free. They're like, I could get money for this.
Yeah, yeah. Girls are a little bit more about their hustle to me. I think women really like, you know what? No. I mean, you pay.
Yeah, or you could go.
But you got a lot of girls doing the webcam thing, and you know, they're doing it. They're getting it sexy, you know. Yeah. They talk to you dirty, you know. And then you drop out.
Right.
hey.
You might be the only comedian to I think, honestly, you might be the only comedian who has actually pulled off being in the proximity of sexy and remaining funny.
Oh, thank you, man. Yeah. You know what? It is. It was never my intention to, you know, be like a sexy person or anything like that.
That's a great sentence.
Nah, it was never like.
You know who says that? Sexy people.
Right.
Never my intention.
You know, never my intention to really turn up sexy. No, honestly, it was about just trying to be funny, you know what? And it was weird because, like, people, when in the beginning of my career, it was like I didn't look like a comedian, so right. Nobody wanted to accept me as a comic.
That's the other thing. You're actually handsome and have managed to pull off being funny.
Yeah, and people didn't accept that from me in the beginning. It was kind of weird. It made me work harder, though. It was weird. Like, people used to always be like, yeah, whatever. You know, that was, and especially in New York when I'm coming up in the game, it was rough. I mean, I was doing rough clubs, black clubs that were like real hardcore hip hop type of vibe.
Yeah, right.
So I didn't really fit the look of what people thought. I should have came in there with my Yankee hat to the side and my Timbos or whatever. And I came more smooth. You know, I had a nice suit on.
Yeah.
But they didn't know I wore that suit every time.
Right.
You know what I mean? I just changed the shirt.
Right.
You know what I mean? I ain't had no money.
Yeah, one suit.
Now here's the other thing. Not only did you manage to pull off sexy and comedy and handsome and comedy, but you're not dirty.
No, I mean, I can be,
but
don't look at me as
but
a
you're
dirty
you're not though.
Nah,
I mean, if we go through all the Bill Bellamy, you know, over TV, Overtime, MTV, Def Jam, everything else, I mean, you get sexy, you talk about girls, you talk about relationships. Yeah. There's no chair fucking in your act.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I never really wanted to be that guy, you know what I mean? I thought that was an easy route for a lot of cats because it's a shock value to it. People are like, oh snap, you know, oh whoa,
right.
You know what I mean? And you're going to get that because you're saying some stuff that's kind of vulgar and it's electrifying in the right context.
Yeah.
But I always felt like, you know, I'm going to go a different route. You know, I'm going to work a little harder and see if I can do it without having to go there. You know what I mean? But what I did, what I thought was unique about my experiences was be honest about my experiences.
Yeah.
Because a lot of cats wasn't talking about messing with these girls like that. You know what I'm saying? Right. They wasn't talking about Friday night at the crib or, you know, having 3-4 chicks mad at you at the same time. I mean, it was just crazy because at that time I'm single.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I'm starting to make some paper.
Yeah.
And it was cracking.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I just put it on the stage. So cats who wanted to live my life,
right,
you know what I'm saying, was like, yo, he wildin'. Right. Oh my God. And then chicks was like, you know what, I'll give him some. You know.
So what, who was
funny
the first,
though.
Who was the first comedian that you saw growing up that made you go, I'm going to do this?
Honestly, the first comedian that I saw live was Eddie Murphy. That I said,
wow. Oh, wow.
I was like, I saw Eddie Murphy and I was like, yo, he a beast. I was just like, man, I never seen anybody make it fly like he did. He made it look like you're a real rock star to me.
Right.
He didn't make me see it as like you're a goofball.
Right.
Eddie made it fly to be a comic and you can be a star.
Yeah.
That's the part that I thought was really amazing. But guys like Robin Williams made me realize that you could be brilliant and be funny.
Yeah.
Like, he was just a tornado of, like, talent, you know? Bill Cosby, a businessman, smooth, charming, and yet still funny. Like, you know, they had different swaggers, right?
Yeah.
But I always emulated them. Like, with Richard Pryor, the thing that I got from him that I put in my game was how to tell a story.
Yeah.
You know, Richard always painted pictures where you could see it. If you was live, you really saw it. But if you was listening, you was still there.
Right.
He showed, you know, he'd tell you the tiger, and then when he shot the car and the sound that the car made, and, you know, he was very animated. So, you know, I have a lot of those guys in me.
Yeah. Can you tell us the story when you, what was the last day job you had before you
started? My last day job, I worked in marketing for a company called Leggett & Myers, and I was there for like 2.5 years out of college. And I was, you know, promoting cigarettes at the time. It was this was a big time when, you know, it was still cool to smoke and it was in such a backlash.
Yeah.
And basically coming up with marketing campaigns to encourage people to smoke, make it cool, make it fly, make it sexy.
Right.
You know, that's what we were doing. And I knew after a year into that, I wasn't going to do that for the rest of my life. I was just like, this is just a move.
Yeah.
And I knew that I was going to quit because I liked comedy. I just didn't know how I was going to quit. I was like, man, I want to quit. And the irony of quitting, this is what I would want to tell anybody who's aspiring to do anything. When I was going to quit my job, I knew a year in advance, right?
Yeah.
I typed up my resignation letter, right? I had it in my briefcase, and I was like, read. I used to read it. Like, I got to get this to my boss. His name was Mike Rossi.
Uh-huh.
And Mike was Italian. He was old school company man, you know. He had the nice house, beautiful family. He was like the perfect road in the corporate world kind of guy, right? So I had this girlfriend at the time, and I was like, I'm going to quit my job. She was like, when you going to quit it? I was like, I don't know, but I'm tired of going in.
Yeah.
And I said, I think I'm going to do it next week.
Uh-huh.
I said, I'm going to do it next week. I got my nerve up. I had saved some money
yeah.
for to pay my rent for like 6 months.
Because
I knew I had to give up my company car. So I bought I bought me a nice little Honda.
Uh-huh.
It was my first car. I bought me a Honda. That joint was fly.
Civic.
It was a Honda Accord. I paid $5,000 for it. It had a little wing on it.
Oh, shit.
It was sporty. Because the wing was on it. I thought it was fat.
Right. It was
so anyway. So anyway, I'm going to speed the story up. Don't you know that when I was going to resign, I got a promotion? It was just like crazy.
Mm-hmm.
It was like the fork in the road situation. Mike calls me in.
Right.
He's like, Bill, we have an opportunity for you. We're going to grad. You're going to be promoted to regional manager.
Uh-huh.
So you're going to be where I am. But wow. you're going to be in a different area of New York, and you're going to control from New York State all the way up to Delaware like this. It was a huge area, right?
Right.
And I was like, yo, that was like jail.
Because
I was like, when I was looking at my territory and what it was going to require of me, I knew I couldn't do comedy no more, and I was terrified of that thought. So I was like, yo, man, I'm appreciate you, but I got this letter I want to show you real quick. I had it with me.
You had it.
Yeah, I had to make a decision right then, and I just said, Mike, I can't do it, man. I appreciate the opportunity. He was like, you know, we're going to send you back to business school, and, you know, we'll pay for it. It's an opportunity of a lifetime, especially for minorities. They didn't have a lot of black guys that were going that path, so it was a great setup. Don't you know I had to take the blue pill or red pill. I was like, do I want to be in corporate America, or do I want to just jump off the building on this dream?
Yeah.
I jumped off the building on the dream, man. Yeah. Never had a job since,
What
man.
Did he tell you? What did
he was
tell
like,
you
when you... Oh, Bill, wow, that's a gutsy choice. What are you going to do, though? You leaving us? I said, yeah, I'm going to do this comedy thing. He said, how could you do that? I said, I don't know. I just want to do it, man.
Well, all right, so back up.
Hold on. And then how long before you got MTV? After you quit?
I quit. I got MTV the next year.
Yeah. So after you quit,
mm-hmm.
Then you did comedy. How long did it take before you got on MTV?
It was about a year. And what was crazy, I was doing like little small gigs in New York.
Right.
I was doing all like tri-state stuff. So I was able to hustle and make, you know, a little bit of money here. I would do the Philly run.
Driving a Honda.
I'd do the Philly run. I'd do a Connecticut. I was doing like anywhere you could drive in 2-3 hours.
Yeah.
D.C., down to D.C., shoot down to Maryland, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
do Comedy Connection.
When did you start doing comedy that you felt like, you know, this is the time to quit and I'm going to give it a shot? You didn't just walk out the door, rookie.
No. I was doing it in college at Rutgers, but I wasn't like, I don't know if I was raw. Like, I didn't know if I could do it as a career at the time, because I'm in school. I got to go to school.
So you getting booked?
I'm just doing talent shows, and anytime they need an open mic kind of situation, I was just getting up on school. In school, I didn't know if I was going to ever be a comedian at that time.
So when you're doing the cigarette gig, I mean, are you doing regular weekend gigs at that point?
No.
Are you
When I was doing the cigarette gig, what I was moonlighting, what I was doing, I was in the clubs with Chris Rock, Dave Chappelle.
Right.
Tracy Morgan. I mean, these cats was in and out of, but they was real already. They was just hustling, being comics. And I was like, had a day job. I never forget this. A dude, one of my friends from New York, his name is Reggie McFadden.
Yeah,
I never forget Reggie was one of super
Reggie
funny.
Had the roach joke.
Yeah, he used to do the roach joke, right? And he used to scream a lot.
Yeah.
And Reggie said, man, you ain't no comic till you, this is all you do.
Wow.
You got a job. You ain't real. Bill, please don't tell me you still got that job. And I was like, yeah. I'm going to go there tomorrow. Right? And I remember saying, like, I hadn't really risked it all. That's why I knew. But it took me a year to kind of get the nerve to just jump out there like that, you know, because I was like, these guys are just going, you know, doing 10 minutes here, 15 minutes over there, driving over here, hustling, doing colleges, you know, trying to get on.
Yeah.
Right.
And, you know, so when I quit, I knew, I said, this is what I said to myself. I got a college degree and experience. I could always get a job if all else fails.
Right.
But, man, I'm going for self on this one.
Who was the guy that was, like, in that circle that you felt like? Because a lot of comedians have this. There's usually, like, a local guy who's the fucking guy. Like, in Chicago at that time when I was coming up, it was Larry Reeb. Larry Reeb was the shit. It's like, if you got to where Larry was.
You on, right?
Yeah. Like, who was the guy, the man, Jersey, right around that time? You're like, if I'm doing what he's doing, you think that's good enough?
Well, I'm telling you, at the time, Chris Rock had the vibe. I mean, Chris Rock vibe was crazy. Like, because he was like, yo, that's Eddie Murphy, man.
Yeah.
Yo, he on point. He just doing a couple flicks and stuff.
Right.
He did New Jack City. Then he was in Boomerang. I was like, yo, if I could get in movies like him, man. Yeah. Dang, Chris Rock getting it. And then he did then he was doing specials and stuff. And he was always with the clique. Yeah. Like, I never felt like I was like, you know, I wasn't the Adam Sandler, you know, cool with David Spade dude, you know,
he always
felt like he was in the Hollywood clique,
right,
he was Sammy Davis Jr.
Right,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm a Jersey boy, I'm on the outside, man, I gotta get in.
Yeah.
And I was like, I remember one time when I was like I was in LA and I actually sat down with Chris Rock, and we was at this place called Penny Feathers back in the day. This is early 90s.
Wow.
And I'm in the game now. Uh-huh. We head up.
Right.
I'm like, wow. I'm looking at him like, yo, I used to be, I remember when he had a Mitsubishi Eclipse. I remember when he had an Eclipse, and I was like, yo, I get an Eclipse.
Right.
Man, I had a busted ride. He had an Eclipse, and back then Eclipse almost looked like a Ferrari.
Right. Wow. I saw a picture of I forget who posted it, but I think it was you, Rock, Chappelle, and was it Kevin?
Kevin Hart
and the Seller.
Marlon Wayans and the Seller. Yeah.
That was that's got to be one of the most epic moments of my entire.
So tell me about that night.
Career.
Wow.
Because that's just one of those crazy.
That's just the dopest. Let me explain the moment. The moment, what we're talking about right now, is just all the stars lining up, everybody in the right place at the right time. I'm in New York taping a TV show. I go to the Knicks game.
Uh-huh.
I run into Marlon Wayans.
Okay.
And, you know, me and Marlon real fly.
Yeah.
So Marlon's like, yo, what up, B? You in town? I'm like, yeah, what's up? He's like, yo, man, me too. I'm doing my thing. He was like, yo, you know Dave in town.
Uh-huh.
I said, what? He said, yo, man, Dave in town. They said, Dave going up tonight. I said, yo, Marlon, man, we got to go mess with Dave.
Wait, where does that rumor start that Dave is going up
tonight? I don't know.
That's how when you in New York,
Dave is like Michael Jordan. Yeah, like in the comedy world. He's like, yo, you know Mike having like a live, you know, everybody playing ball tonight. You might want to show up.
Yeah.
Pull your sneakers out the truck. You know what I mean?
I'm going to tell you how the rumor starts. This is exactly how the rumor starts. So you go to the Cellar on a Tuesday night.
Right.
You got a 10 o'clock spot. All of a sudden, you don't have a 10 o'clock spot.
Right.
Because Dave Chappelle's on stage, and he's killing, and he goes until 11 o'clock.
If he's not there yet, though.
No, that's the rumor. Dave is in town.
Uh-huh,
whoever got bumped, they go, man, Dave in town.
Like, okay.
So you're happy to see him. But it comes out like, man, Dave in town.
So you can't You can't get on.
So now, if he came in on a Tuesday, you know he's going to come back Wednesday or Thursday. He's not leaving.
Right.
So that's how the rumor would start. In New
York, so the next night
town.
Is then people are just kind of like, Dave might
start
go up.
Showing up.
So then you get there and you're enthusiastic about it.
And sometimes he shows, sometimes he doesn't.
Yeah, but it's just that vibe.
But now with social media and texting, you know, so Marlon was like, yo, man, what you want to do? I was like, dude, whatever we got to do. And he'll tell you I said this to him.
Yeah.
I said, I got a feeling, man. It's going to be crazy. Yeah. I just feel it. I got it in my – I said, we got to go. I got a feeling it's going to be one of them nights.
Yeah.
He said, yeah, let's just do it. So we sitting down at dinner, and he said, yo. He said, yo, B, let's bounce. He said, yo, Dave going on in about 20 minutes.
Wow.
So case in point, I get there.
The special celebrity phones, too.
Right, yeah. Celebrity phones.
The bat, we hit the bat phone.
Right. So he got a text.
So everybody, we got black trucks flying.
right.
You know, we looking like the mob, son.
Right.
We got black Suburbans going to the Cellar, right?
Cats is
jumping out.
Wow.
Right. Jumping out.
Yeah.
And we go down in the Cellar. The Cellar is mad small, so you got that small little low ceiling type vibe.
Right.
So I go on stage. I know I come down the steps and I see Dave, but he don't see me.
Right.
So I'm like, oh, he's in a joke or something, right?
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't want him to see me because I don't want him to break his rhythm because he's killing. Right?
Oh, he's on stage when
he's
you get
on
down
stage,
there.
Right.
Okay.
So I turn the corner, I got my head to the side, and he's like, wait a minute, this is crazy. Excuse me. Is that Bill Bellamy? This is crazy. This has got to be one of the nights I can't. Bill Bellamy! Come over here, man. This is crazy. I need a cigarette. Somebody get me a cigarette. This is amazing. This man, I was 17 years old, didn't have a ride. He always remembers this story. This means the most to Dave.
Have you ever done your Dave Chappelle for anybody?
Oh, yeah. He's a mayor. You don't know about Bill. His impression game is sick.
I've never heard of
this
Dave.
Motherfucker's impression game is sick.
But the crazy thing, I'm telling you, this man's crazy. I was 17 years old. This is a real story. I was lost. I was in Jersey. I was at this place called the Peppermint. It was a violent club. It was thugs. It was drugs. It was comedy. It was an amazing violent combination. However, I had no ride, and this man had a good car. The women love this motherfucker. He's handsome. He's really handsome. And he gave me a ride back to the city, and I was like, that's a real man, and that's my friend. Give it up for Bill Bellamy. Everybody's going crazy, oh, crazy, right? So I'm like, oh, well, what's up? So I'm sitting down. I'm in the corner chilling, yeah, right? Yeah. He goes, there's another friend tonight that is in the house that I want to say hello to. He's a good guy. He's one of the kings. Give it up for Chris Rock. I said, oh, my God. Because I didn't see he was in the corner.
Yeah, by the bar.
He
yeah.
got a hat on.
Uh-huh.
Then he says, this is a new nigga. This nigga just got rich. Kevin Hart.
That's hilarious.
Hey, Kevin's like, hey, man. Hey, hey. So Kevin comes. This is just how it happened.
It's crazy.
It was cosmic. So he calls up Rock. He calls up Kev. He calls up me. He calls up Marlon. Give it up for 1,000 of the Wayans. There's so many
he's
of these niggas. But it's hilarious the way he's saying it. So everybody's on stage, uh-huh. right? And this is the first time this has ever happened uh-huh. since we all became stars. This wow. has never, ever happened.
Yeah.
Right.
So we all have stories about each other.
Oh, shit.
So everyone told a personal story about the other person.
Wow.
And shit. It was hilarious.
Damn.
Not even, if somebody recorded all of that, that's the album.
They got cameras at the cellar.
I just call it an epic night of comedy. It hit the social media. GQ did a story on us.
Wow.
They did a story, I guess, in the LA Times, New York Times. Mm-hmm. And at the time, while everybody was in town the other way, was Marlon was doing a promotion for something he was doing. Kevin Hart was working out because he was doing Saturday Night Live.
Uh-huh.
And Dave was working on his material because he was going to do Radio City Music Hall.
Wow. Yeah.
So it was just one of those things where I was like, I'm so happy I listened to my gut.
Yeah.
I'm glad I was a part of that moment. I didn't want it, that would be one of the things that I'd be like, why wasn't I there?
Yeah.
So you got it. You have a copy of the picture someplace.
Yeah, I got it in my phone right now. Okay. I got everything.
You didn't get it. You didn't print it?
Yeah, I put it up on my Instagram and stuff. I got it. I mean.
No, nigga, did you print it on a piece of paper and put it in a frame?
Yeah,
in your house?
Yeah, I didn't do that yet, but I
do
would.
That.
Yeah, I have to.
No, because I take a ton of pictures, right?
Yeah, me too.
I'm a photographer.
But I didn't. You're right. I got to do that.
And this is what I'm saying. It's like what scares me now is that because everything is digital, you get this sense of immediacy that shit is real because you're looking at it, but it's in the ether someplace.
Yeah.
This shit can go down and it's gone. So you got like that's a real fucking picture.
I got a lot.
You have
that
to print it. Put it on a piece of paper because guess what? Fucking paper lasts for thousands of years.
You're absolutely right. And it's one of those moments that I'm really most proud of.
Yeah, you got to get that printed, man.
Because what I like about that is it's like we are a generation of comedians that can never be repeated.
Mm-hmm.
Just think about it. I mean, you know, Def Jam era, whatever you want to call us, we are a class of comics that were so powerful. I always tell people, we were the dream team.
Well, you know what it looks like, and I mean, we don't have this thing now. But have you ever seen the roast clip online, the Richard Pryor roast?
Oh, yeah,
with
yeah,
Mooney
yeah.
and Robin Williams.
Oh yeah, look at
and that dais, and you look at it and go, this shit's amazing.
amazing. That's
unbelievable.
Like, all of these motherfuckers are sitting in one room at one time.
1,000 pounds of power.
And I mean, as much as we see, like, you know, like they do the Comedy Central roast from time to time. And those are cool and those people are perfectly funny. Right. But they, as funny as those people are, they aren't the kings of their generation.
Right.
They aren't the best motherfuckers.
Nah, you
got to
be.
Business.
I mean, you got, that's like saying you do a roast. You got Martin Lawrence. You got Dave Chappelle. You got Chris Rock, Chris Tucker, Bill Bellamy,
Jamie Foxx, right?
Bernie Mac,
right?
Cedric. Steve Harvey, right. Cedric, DL,
right?
I mean, it's just too much power,
yeah. Right?
What you gonna do, man?
Right, right.
You gonna follow that,
right?
You know what I mean? That's, you know, and Kevin Hart is after that generation.
Yeah. Right.
He's in his own class. I'm saying he didn't come from that era.
Right. Right.
He watched us.
Right.
Do you understand?
Yeah.
You know, Mike Epps.
Yeah. Right.
You know, we were like. Half of it was timing, mm-hmm. You know, being in the right place, right time. Russell Simmons taking advantage of these really, really talented kids mm-hmm. that were really funny.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just think, nobody I said to you, you can't say is not funny.
Right.
And I'm probably missing somebody because I'm just saying it off the top of the head.
Right.
But
yeah.
I'm just saying that's ridiculous, yeah. Man. That's like having an all-star basketball team. Everybody is a superstar,
right,
y'all.
Right, right.
It ain't just Michael Jordan.
It's the first dream team.
It's the first dream team.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what I think of it.
Right. There's no team that's better
than that.
Y'all
can't mess with
team.
Us, man. Right. We the best.
Right. Yeah, man.
Man, wow.
We the best.
So how do you juggle? Because you've been out there for a while. You've been
22 this year. Will be 22.
22 years, man.
Yeah, 22 years swinging at it, going at it. You know what? I feel like it's a resurgence for me. Like, you know, there's ebbs and flows in a career. You know what I'm saying? A lot of cats, you know, shoot out real, real fast and kind of like go to the stratosphere. You can go that route.
Mm.
I feel like I've had a consistent career. You know what I'm saying? I'm still waiting for one of those big, big breakout things that I think would just cement my legacy, but I feel like I'm like a
bigger than hanging out with Janet Jackson.
I don't know.
It's pretty big, man. If you
know
Michael Jackson.
Michael Jackson.
No, you had Janet Jackson when she was hot.
Yeah, when she was Beyonce, right?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah,
you had Janet Jackson when she was Beyonce.
I know, but see, the thing about it is, like, I think if people were to look at my entire career, they would be like, oh my God, right? But, like, you know, right now it's about what are you doing now?
Right,
like,
now,
people, I don't think, unless you follow me from the beginning, you don't get it. I mean, a lot of people love them, you know, How to Be a Player and The Brothers and Fastlane and all these other things. But I'm saying, like, right now, all I need is one hit movie.
Right.
Like, another hit movie, like one that just jumps off the screen and it's a wrap.
Yeah.
So let me ask you a question, though. So you say you need a hit movie, but, you know, I mean, you've been here for a minute.
Yeah.
You live okay. You know,
I'm good.
There's no stories in the paper about you lost your shit. Yeah,
no.
There's been no tax incidents.
Paper still right.
Yeah, you know, so all of that. So, you know, you have a solid career in show business.
Yes.
You have solidified your reputation as a comedian. So is it something creatively or artistically that you want to do? Because, you know, if a guy's looking at you going, you know, I would fucking love to just be Bill Bellamy. Like,
right.
They think that's the greatest thing.
Yeah, but everybody's reaching, you know what I'm saying? And most ambitious people are never, ever, ever, you know,
satisfied.
Yeah. And I am satisfied on one level, but I stay hungry, you know what I mean? And when it's all said and done, I want to be the best ever. Like, I'm like, you know, I just never got my due. And I feel like I'm one of the funniest guys to ever grab a microphone. And, you know, I'm going to keep getting it till people got to bow down to that.
Right.
You know what I mean? You got to accept the game. You know, it's like the hard work is going to pay off at some point.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like right now I'm working on my next hour. And I think this hour is going to be crazy because my last two, I mean, I did, how many cats you know dropping 2 hours in a year? Like, I did two different specials. I did Crazy Sexy Dirty. Then I turned around and did Ladies Night Out. I did an hour on that one, an hour on that one, all different material. You know what I'm saying? Then I jumped in and starting another hour. This is all in like 36 months. So I'm saying that I'm in the gym. You know, I'm working out.
Right,
you know, I'm getting my reps. You know what I mean? I'm hitting the clubs. Cats is seeing me popping up like, yo, Bill in here because I'm ready. You know what I'm saying? But you got to do that to get to that point. So You know, I'm looking at, you know, my peers, you know, and a lot of cats ain't dropping specials right now. You know, Kev is to me, is like really, really taking advantage of his opportunity. He's making his movies. You know, he's really, you know, doing brilliant with the social media.
We locked the door so he wouldn't get on this podcast.
No. No, Kev is my homeboy. Like, I like what he's doing. I think he's very, very smart. And he's really crafty on how he is touching the audience, and it's the way it should be. It's the way it is now. It's not going backwards, right?
Right.
So that's good. So, like, for me, being, you know, a vet in the game, or some cats be like, "Yo, man, you legendary, B, you OG, B." You know what I mean? Yeah. And I'm like, "All right," but I still got to incorporate and adapt to the new ways, and right. I've done that, and I think that's going to be the game changer too, because now I got younger.
Yeah.
I have new, I have older, I have all different generations. So I'm bringing everybody to the party now. Yeah. It's going to be gangster.
Yeah.
That's where it's at.
Man. I want you to take me back to the Peppermint Lounge, man. Like, how did that happen?
Well, first, where is the Peppermint Lounge?
Peppermint Lounge, well, we never really had a premier comedy club. We started at a club called...
What year was this?
This is, well, I'm saying, I can't really nail it down. Right. Like,
was somebody else the host and you just became the host?
No, I was always the host. Okay. Bob Sumner was my first manager.
Okay.
And me and Bob was like, "Yo, man, we need to get our own spot," because we was only going to the city and working out.
Right.
And we needed a spot where we could work out in Jersey. You know, we got to create a comedy night. So Bob was like, "Yo, I know everybody. I'm going to try to find a night where they ain't really doing that and create a comedy spot." Right. Mm-hmm. So I was like, "Word, man." Because he said, "Yo, you can host it, and that'd be like a perfect place for me to work out." Because I'm a young comic and I could get up every week and then still go to the city. That was the plan.
Yeah. Right.
So the Peppermint, I'm trying to remember now. It's just escaping me right now. But the first place we really did was in Elizabeth. Mm-hmm. And I can't think of the name right now. It's escaping me. It was a small little tiny club. The host of that was Terry Hodges.
Okay, I remember Terry Hodges.
So Terry Hodges was hosting that. And he was at that time, he was on the Apollo. Mm-hmm. He was host of Apollo. Mm-hmm. So I'm gonna speed this up. He's the man. I'm the youngin'. I'm coming up.
Mm-hmm.
He should have never let me host for him. But he hooked me up. It was him. It was because of him I became the host of everything else. Because he couldn't do it. He was the man at the Apollo. He couldn't come back. He let me host, and I took it over.
Wow.
Right.
It was pandemonium, right? Yeah. I'm hungry. I'm young. I'm messing with everybody in the audience. It's a hood crowd, and I'm killing cats. I'm killing cats. If you come in there late, you gotta come through the emergency exit. So we did that for a while, and then we went to Club 88. Club 88 was hot. They kicked us out of Club 88 because it was just too much. I forget why, but we lost that spot. So Bob said, "B, it ain't over. I'm going to find another spot. I'm going to get us the night at the Peppermint, because they got a room, or they got a night, a Thursday night. They ain't doing nothing, and we can go there and bring our crowd. Everybody going to come."
Yeah.
We had flyers and everything. "Yo, this is a new spot. Everybody handing out flyers, hustling. We ain't had no Twitter. We ain't had no Facebook.
Right.
So Thursday, Peppermint became... This is what's crazy about the Peppermint.
Yeah.
It was huge.
It was big.
It was big. So
what, like 300, 400 seats?
450.
Yeah, and it was split. It was like hood cats on one side and bougie cats on the other side. Okay. And Bill played to both of them.
So this is how it exploded.
Uh-huh.
When we was doing it and I was the local champ, it was nice. When I got on TV, it went viral, because I was on there on TV. I was on MTV saying, "I see y'all at the Peppermint tonight. Y'all know what up, Jersey?" Yeah.
Right.
So people was driving from Philly.
Damn.
People was driving from D.C.
Right.
Wow. People was on for one night.
Damn.
It was crazy. People from D.C., people from Hartford, people from New York was coming there. You had celebrities there. You had Latifah, Naughty, like people like Chubb Rock.
Right.
You had Biz coming through. I mean, Kid Capri.
Wow.
It was just one of them spots. NBA players, you know, the Nets was playing, or the Knicks. They got to come to the Met. It's going to be crazy. So I'm hosting this viral spot in Jersey. It's premier Latifah is on fire now. Yeah. Naughty's on fire now. So all this, Whitney would come. Bobby would come. Damn. So it was just crazy. Like, it was one of those nights where you came for the comedy and you was going to see somebody famous.
Right.
So I'm a recipient of being in the right place at the right time.
Yeah.
So then it got so big that they had the Def Comedy Jam auditions there.
Right.
Now it got real.
It's crazy.
So now you got Chris Tucker in there. You got Bernie in there. Yeah. You got Steve Harvey in there.
Yeah.
You got Jamie Foxx in there. Dave Chappelle in there. Yeah. Chris Rock in there. Yeah. Owen Smith in there.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Cats got to get on that stage so they can prove that they real.
Yeah.
And Cats was getting their head handed to him in there. It was real.
It was real. You
could really get your feelings hurt in there.
It was honest room.
They were sending you to the car, baby.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the first one I ever did where they had a metal detector out.
You know, it's so weird because, like, the whole that experience is not a white comic experience.
And they don't know nothing about that.
And what I mean is that it's just that, you know, Chicago had that room, you know, Jersey has that room.
New York had a lot of those rooms.
A lot of black comedians had to come up in places where there's a club that had an off night. Mm-hmm. And in the off night,
you booked
the black comics.
Absolutely.
And so it got to the point where the real comedy clubs, you know, sort of like you got that at Chocolate Sundays, you know, mm-hmm. you got the when the established clubs started doing that. But that shit grew up out of cats in the hood going to where they could go, getting a guy that was fucking killer to host it.
Yep.
And people will come.
Because they didn't want to have, you know, at that time they wasn't mixing the mainstream rooms with an urban night. They wanted us to just have our own night.
And those cats couldn't work.
You couldn't get booked in that room. For me, it was perfect because I had a perfect place to practice every week. Mm. You know what I'm saying? And what it made me do too, I had to write now because, you know, people coming back every week. So I can't say the joke I used last week.
Well, because you're the host.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because that's the other thing. In terms of the divide between how white comics come up and black comics come up, the host spot in the black clubs is actually the premier spot.
Oh yeah, you can come
from out of town and be the headliner. But this is my room.
Yeah, this is my room.
It was Martin at the
All the best comics had their own room. I mean, Bernie had the Cotton Club. Had the Cotton Club. Steve Harvey had Vuku Ray's.
Vuku Ray.
Steve Harvey brought me to Dallas to do his room. I remember that.
I mean,
he had me staying in like a nice little Ramada or something.
Yep.
Steve, the Ramada. Look here, Plil.
What did he say to you?
I'm going to feed you. You know, I ain't going to put you in the Four Seasons because we ain't got it like that, Plil.
Man, all jokes came up as George Wilborn was over all jokes.
Absolutely. You know, the real good comics. Had a room, and that's how we got good. You know what I mean? So I really give my hat off to Jersey and New York because they made me the best comic, you know, that I could be. Because one, like I said, when in the beginning of my career, I didn't look like I was a comedian. I was sort of like a new type of style, I guess. Mm-hmm. Even when I did, you know, Def Comedy Jam, Martin was like, pretty motherfucker, you know what I mean?
So let me ask you, the ladies
screaming back then, you know, it was like, yo, they was like, oh my God, that's Bill Bellamy. Oh my God. I was like, thank you.
All right. So we know things went, you know, largely go well, but this happens in everybody's career.
Yeah.
What was the thing where, you know, you get up one day and you're going, shit, this ain't going the way I wanted to go at all. When did you get nervous? When did you get scared? When did the shit take a left turn?
Well,
and it just was like,
honestly, the one thing that I remember vividly, which was crazy, was when I got Fastlane, my life went into overdrive because Fastlane was a huge show at a studio at a major network.
Right.
It was Warner Brothers and Fox collabo. I'm with one of the hottest TV producers in the game. I am on billboards. This is the first time I've ever been on a billboard on Sunset.
Wow.
I had two billboards on Sunset Boulevard.
Did you audition?
Yeah, I had to audition for Fastlane. Oh, yeah.
How many times?
Four.
Four times.
Yeah.
Do you know who the competition was?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, you don't have to name them.
What did the names rhyme with?
All right, go ahead.
Did you think you were going to get it? Did you look at the competition and go, I didn't know
what they wanted, you know what I'm saying? Because it was a dramatic role, they wanted me. The role was written kind of dark. Like, it was like this dude, he real, real cool. He don't really have, you know, he got a dusty past. You know, it's kind of heavy. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I was like, man, there ain't no sensibility to this dude. He boring, man. Mm-hmm. You can't be angry every episode. This is retarded.
Right.
I was like, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm just going to bring some swag to it and just like really be like a hybrid of that guy.
Right.
A little bit of the street stuff, but he got to be funny. It's got to be chemistry.
Right.
So when I got in a room with Peter and we just started vibing just off the rip,
yeah,
they was like, that's it. That's what we want. It's fire. It's back and forth banter. It's two guys from two different worlds. They don't get along, but they got to work together.
Yeah.
And they like that.
Yeah.
So a lot of the banter on the show, we just ad-lib because they couldn't write that.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But this is why I'm going to go back to what you said. So I get there. I go from hot comedian, book a great show. I am on private planes. I am at the Billboard Awards. Mm-hmm. I'm at the MTV Awards. Mm-hmm. I am a star. I am Bill Bellamy, the TV star,
right?
Action, you know, sexy, cool dude,
right?
Got the gun now, you know, I'm grown man. Right?
Yeah.
Billboards in Times Square, man. You looking at Dateline in the morning, ABC News, you see my face through the window, man. I'm right there by a cup of noodles, man.
That's crazy.
Cut to the show gets canceled.
Shit. After how many episodes?
We did a full season. We getting ready to, you know, we swear to God, we do the cliffhanger. We think it's real. You know, I'm at the World Series.
Right.
I'm promoting the show. It's going down.
Yeah.
Cut to, I am on my way to the airport because they have the upfronts to let you know if your show's getting picked up for or whatever, right? And I'm on my way to the airport and my manager called me. He's like, yo, B, where you at? I said, oh, I'm on my way to the airport. He was like, man, you don't have to come to New York. We're not going to get the pickup. I said, what? Come on, man, for real? Is it over? He was like, yeah, it's over. So now I'm like, wow, what does that mean, man? Damn. This is a weird. You got a hot show and it's gone. You like, man, you calling people like, is it really real? You looking at the Fox schedule. We ain't on there.
Right.
I said, oh my God. I didn't know what was going to happen after that. That was a huge drop because that was a show at that time that I thought was like, yo, this is it. That's that joint.
Yeah.
Now I can start doing the movies. Cats going to see me as a real action star, dude. I can start jumping over cars, throwing cats out of windows.
Right. Because
that's what I was doing on the show.
Right. You're like the black Will Smith.
Yeah. I was like, I felt like I was Will Smith without the money.
Right.
I felt like I was the Costco Will Smith.
Hilarious. Wholesale Smith.
Yo, you gotta get me wholesale.
That's hilarious.
You know, Will full price.
I'm here.
I'm like, I'm right here. It's Will Bill.
Right.
I need my independence.
Y'all same height, jump everything.
The same
light
height,
skin,
everything.
Dark skin.
We right there.
Damn.
I didn't get the bad boy. So anyway. So that was that moment where I was kind of like, what's gonna happen? Like, you know, so I had to gather myself. I was like, cool. You know, it wasn't a money thing. It was like a move thing. Okay, well, damn, what? I didn't know what to do. I just like you said, you just don't know what's the next thing to do.
How long did it take you to recover? And was it something that you know, that you got started on your own? Or did something come out of left field?
No, I just kept, you know, it didn't. I always had 3-4 jobs, so it never stopped me from doing stand-up and stuff like that. So what I did was I just dug back into my comedy real hard. And here's the thing that tripped me out. Mm. When I did that dramatic series, everybody forgot I was a comedian all of a sudden.
Mm.
So people, when I was going to do shows, they were coming there and wasn't sure I was funny. They was kind of like, yeah, I just came because I saw you in the show with Tiffany Thiessen. And then I had this crossover thing. Mm-hmm. So I had like.
Now, were you booking, when you came out of the show, were you booking bigger rooms, smaller rooms? Like, what was the shift there?
It was still kind of the same. My rooms didn't drop off. It was kind of like my crowd dropped off. Like, my urban crowd kind of left me for a little bit. Like, they were kind of like here and there. but not like where it was, you know. Mm-hmm. So I had a more mainstream appeal now. So I had like white fans from like 25 to 55 kind of thing. And I was kind of like, where my people at? Like, mm-hmm. What did I do?
Right.
And people was like, yo, Bill Bellamy still funny? What's that?
Right.
What's that? The only thing black folks love more than loving you is not loving you.
Right. Like really say, yo, he fell off.
Right. Where he been at?
Yo, I don't even know if he know what a joke is. So here's the thing. Here's is the redevelopment of Bill Bellamy. So I went back to the pen and the pad, got back on the stage, start grinding that way, you know. And I did a couple of specials. I did Back to My Roots. I did.
What was it? Was it easy to get? So was it easy to get the cable outlets? Because you've done Showtime.
Yeah.
Were they still in bed with you? Were they cool? Did you have to sell them on it? You know, because you know when you lose one of those shows or something,
yeah,
the whole thing will flip on you.
Yeah, the whole city get different, man.
Yeah, they get like he ain't hot.
Yeah, you really can't get in the VI right now.
Yeah,
right.
You
know, yes, some of that was true, but what I had in my favor was good management and agency that was making some moves for me. So I was able to keep afloat and keep moving. I hadn't gotten another show, but then I jumped off and did The Brothers.
Right.
And that was cool. I did another film. I did a couple more films, actually, after that show got canceled, because that show got canceled around 2003 going into 2004. And I had just had my daughter, and I was kind of like, well, maybe it's a blessing, because I just had my daughter in 2003. And I was like, well, man, you know what, man? I'm going to be able to spend some time with my kids, you know? Mm-hmm. So I was doing different things, and I was kind of like enjoying being a dad. But yet and still, in that 2-3 years, people was like, yo, he fell off. And I was kind of like, golly, I mean, you can't even raise your kids, huh? Because I wasn't missing that.
Right. Right.
So, because I was like, I seen too many of my dudes saying, yo, man, I was grinding so hard. I miss my kids. My daughter 15 now. We don't, you know, and I can't go back. I was like, nah, that ain't going to be me. So I just really kind of just dove into being a dad and doing stand up. And when the TV came, I got a movie. That's what it was. But then I was kind of like, all right, let me just get refocused. You know what I mean? Like Ali said, let's get it. So I got back on the grind.
Is that hard? And I'm asking you because I already know the answer.
Right.
But is it hard being in the town, in the business, doing something in your life that you think is important, but the perception on the outside is Bill fell off?
It bothers you sometimes because, you know, I'm not thirsty. You know what I'm saying? I'm not like, I got to be in your face every day. Oh, my God. You're going to forget me. Like, I'm not that dude. I'm kind of like, man, I'm going to chill for a minute. I'm going to do me, right? I feel like this. The game is not going to change. You either in the game or you out the game.
Right.
But I'm never one to let the game rob me
of
my life. You know, like, I got to have something, too.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I could work all my life, you know, make all the money in the world, but don't have my family, don't have anything that's intrinsically mine.
Right.
Then what's the point, right?
Yeah.
So I always said I wanted to have balance in my life. As you know, today I was at work. I brought my son with me today. And I wanted him to see how daddy grind. You know, this is a hustle. This is what you have to do. You have to learn how to work and get it. So when I tell him I'm going to work, he can see what that is.
Yeah.
It's not like some fairy tale. Yeah. You got to go get it. I'm standing up here for 12 hours getting this money.
Yeah.
So
tell him what one of the guys on set said when he saw you talking to your son, how his father
was. My barber said, yo, man, I could never talk to my father that long, man.
Sit your ass down
so I get out my face, boy. Hey, what you need? Better sit your ass down.
Where'd you meet Owen? How long you known Owen?
Owen said we met a long time ago, but I don't remember that part.
Right.
I remember seeing Owen about, I want to say 5-6 years ago. I saw him doing some stand-up somewhere. And I was like, who's that dude? I was like, dag, he's kind of funny. You know what I'm saying? Then I started seeing him in commercials. I was like, oh, yo, he getting on. I was like, because that's my man that was on that little, you know, doing, I saw a little clip of him somewhere. I was like, yo, my man getting it in. And I was seeing him pop up in commercials and stuff like that. And then most recently, I want to say in the last 2 years, when I came up to
Connecticut
to do the show with you guys, I was like, yo, that's that dude.
That's that dude.
So I was like, what are you doing here?
Right.
And he was like, yeah, I'm writing on this show. I said, right. What? You a writer? I thought you was a stand-up. He's like, I do everything. Right. So, all right. So that was 2 years ago.
Right, right.
He was out in Connecticut doing Are We There Yet, right? Was
yeah.
it?
Are yeah,
we
yeah.
There? Are
yeah.
We There Yet? And then cut to a year ago when I was starting to do Mr. Box Office.
Right. Mm-hmm.
He came in for that. So I thought I was going to get him to be on that show. And then he got another opportunity, so he left. Mm-hmm. So then I'm doing Mr. Box Office. And then in the last 6 months, I've been running to O like crazy. So I ran into Owen at the Comedy Store.
Yeah.
And this was like the first time I seen him do live stand-up in a right. while.
Okay.
So he was like, yo, B, what you doing here? Because I was in the other room. He was like, yo. He was like, yo, I'm about to go on, man. You going to check me out? I was like, yeah. I said, listen, I'm going to do a spot too, but I'm going to come back. I said, yo, what you going to do? You going on right now? He was like, I don't know. It's going to be in a minute. So I said, all right, cool. So I go in, I do my spot over there in the big room, and then I came right back, and he was just going on. I was like, oh, snap. So I'm sitting there watching O like a groupie.
Well, only because he roped you in.
Yeah.
He's like a 5-year-old.
Yeah, he's like, yo, man, I'm really good. You could see it. It's going on at 7.
Like, he is not embarrassed at all about asking you to check out his shit.
He don't give a fuck. So, anyway, so I come back and stuff, and I'm sitting in the back. I ain't want him to see me, so I'm chilling. He was funny as hell. So I was like, yo, oh. So I was like, oh, I thought of something. I had a couple of tags.
Yeah, he gave me some great tags.
So I was like, yo, man, this character is really funny, man. You could do this way, go that way, whatever. He was like, yo, that's a good idea. So we start vibing there. So then when I got this new show, Let's Ask America, we were talking about writers and stuff. Right. And I was like, yo, this is this kid named Owen Smith. I'm telling you, he's funny. He's got a really good sensibility. I think he's the dude. So then my man Mike, Michael Canty, was like, yeah, I love Owen Smith. I said, oh, you know him? He was like, yeah. He's really good. I said, yeah, I think he'd be perfect fit. So then that's how we start working together.
You know the thing about him, and we will talk more about you in a minute.
Yeah.
Like the reason I have on around and have used him as a writer is because here's a word for you. Watch this. He's indefatigable.
Oh, Jesus.
Ooh, man. It almost sounds like you undefinable, right?
I know, right?
Mixed with some Tego on it.
I know. It sounds like a drink.
I'm going to say it again. Indefatigable.
So you can tell
I don't get tired. Fatigued.
Yeah, that's right. You can't kill him, man.
You can't.
You knock down one joke, I'm going to come right back with
he got another.
And when you're working with funny people.
Yeah.
When you're working with funny people, the number one thing, and this is for writers in particular, you cannot get upset if they don't like your joke.
Yeah.
But remember, you're in the room because you're funny.
Anyway, you good.
Come up with another joke.
Get another one.
That's the gig.
You can't have to me, you just can't, as a writer, you can't have a lot of ego. To some degree, yes, you can't be attached to certain things. Like when we vibe on jokes, you know what
unless
I'm saying?
You're in charge like me, in which case you
can. Right, yeah. You're in charge. It's your way. So listen. Right. So listen. With us, what I like about the chemistry that we have, if we laugh immediately, we know it's hot.
Right.
We don't even got to think right. about it, right? Yeah. And sometimes, you know, it'll come from him. Sometimes it comes from me. But when we both laugh out loud, immediately we go, that's it.
Yep.
And we don't even have to question that. Nope. That's it. That's going to be fire.
I mean, what I enjoy working with you as an actor and with funny people. Yeah. And as a writer, I learned this. And, you know, you have ideas that can absolutely work in terms of the story you're trying to tell and how that has to move. But sometimes you got to just get a motherfucker a ball and let him run for a second and let him
and
do his thing.
And trust that he can let him do his thing. You know what? It is an important aspect to have as a comic, especially, and as an actor, because everybody doesn't create the same. Mm-hmm. You know, I can't write the jokes that, you know, he writes the way he writes them. He comes from a different creative space than me, right? Mm-hmm. So you got to give us opportunity to create in our space, but we can create together.
Yeah.
Because once I start learning his rhythm or his frequency, now I can compliment his frequency. That's all it is.
Right.
You're complimenting someone's frequency.
Right,
and I think that's how you write a great movie. Or, you know, like we came up with a skit today. I'm not even going to leak it.
We laugh hard.
We are going to murder the game. I'm trying to honestly build a team of, like, I'm going to create like a label, like in a sense, like rappers do, where they put together like all these talented people. That's basically what I've done in the last 5 years. I've just been gathering talented people, you know, from Owen to Clayton Thomas to D-Lay to Ali Sadiq to mm-hmm. Jay Reed to my boy Lil Rel, who's a beast coming up in the game, K-Dub. Ron G. I mean, there's a lot of these young boys that's hungry, man, and I'm trying to put together a great team.
What is that? Can you talk about that? Like, what does that look like for you? Is there some space that you think you can operate in? Or
absolutely.
A platform?
I think right now, you know, I would like to believe like I'm the Jay-Z of comedy. You know, I'm mm-hmm. the dude that is a cool dude that casts respect and see the work, so they give me love for that.
I know the name of your label.
You already know what it is?
Bella Fella.
So if it, you know, if Bella Fella is real, you know, you gotta be a beast to be on Bella Fella. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You gotta be somebody that's just uniquely talented. It doesn't matter. You don't have to. You ain't gotta. It ain't about a look. It's about a feel. About how you speak into the people, you know. It's just like when you look at, you know, a rap label. These guys got so much fire. You know, there's a distinct difference between Lil Wayne and Drake. Yeah. There's a distinct difference with Rick Ross, and you know, and
there's a distinct difference between Lil Wayne and everything on earth.
Absolutely. But you know, you got to respect that. You know, this cat's been around for a minute, and he ain't going nowhere. And you can't cheat real.
Right.
Real is real. And yeah. if you got it, you're here. If you don't, you can get up out of here.
So what do you got? You got some brothers? You got some sisters? What do you got?
I got in the game, as far as bringing up.
In your family, in your house.
Oh, my family. I got one brother.
Older, younger?
One sister. My brother's younger. Uh-huh. My sister's younger. I'm the oldest. And it's, you know, it's just us three. I have a beautiful wife and kids.
Your mom and dad stayed married?
Mom and dad still together.
Wow, look at that. How long?
They've been together now, I want to say 46, going on 47 years.
Wow. So yeah. So that's some kind of solid example.
Yeah,
that's
what it is. It's old school. You know, cats ain't doing that. They only doing 47 months out here.
Right.
So this is kind of weird. So like, what do you think about like the wifey generation? Like, it's a whole, like, girls are messed up now.
Yeah.
They're really messed up.
It's a generation of that.
Yeah, no, because I Facebooked this the other day. I was laughing because I was watching the Ray J's new show.
Oh, yeah, the new show?
It was it's a reality thing. I don't remember the name of it. Hollywood, Love and Hip Hop Hollywood, I think.
Yeah, Love and Hip Hop.
So it's funny because, like, so there's a girl. All right, so you got one girl that's with a dude, and so he fools around, and she's mad. That makes sense. Mm-hmm. Okay, you with a girl, you fool around, she gets mad. Understand that. Mm-hmm. There's another girl. Ray J broke up with a girl, and he's with another girl, and she's mad. I'm like, but he broke up with you.
Yeah,
that's how that works.
She ain't taking that L too well.
When he breaks up with you, he gets to fool around.
He gets to move on. Yeah.
And then there's other girls that before they get with you and you're with another girl, they're mad.
Yeah.
It's like he's currently with another girl and you're mad. And I'm like, you're crazy. What is wrong with these people?
Well, it's a different generation, man. You know what I'm saying? I honestly believe that, like, people aren't connecting like they used to. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
People are, it's instant right now. You know what I'm saying? People doing Tinder, man. They ain't really trying to roll up on a female.
All right, I gotta,
and have a conversation.
Yeah, I got to do this now.
They're getting it with their fingers.
I was walking down the street and this occurred to me. Like, I'm not a, you know, I'm a blue comic or whatever, but this is how it came to my head. And I was like, pussy is a loss leader. You know what a loss leader is?
What? I don't know.
What's a loss leader?
You go into a store like Best Buy, right? Uh-huh. Uh-huh. And they sell albums, you know, mm-hmm. CDs or whatever, for cheaper than you would get them, you know, at another. You go into Target, you know, they got an album for $9.99 that in a record store, you know, would have cost you $15, $20.
Okay.
It's called a loss leader. They sell it for less than it's worth to get you in the store so that you can buy some other shit once you're in there.
Okay.
It's like, we're going to get them in here with this. Right. They put it in the back of the store someplace so you can walk through all this other shit. You got to see all the other stuff they got before you get to that, right? Then you go and you buy that, and then hopefully when you you're back there, on the way out, you start seeing some other shit you want to spend some money on.
Okay.
That's a loss leader. Pussy is a loss leader.
Wow.
Well, it's the thing that gets them to come into the building. Now, once they're in there, hopefully they find some other things that are much more worthwhile than the pussy, which they could get from someplace else.
Well, the thing about it, you know, is you want to have some quality stuff to keep you in the building.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, you know, I would think in a younger generation, everything is about instant. There's no waiting. You know, it's no patience. You know, everything is instant gratification. And a lot of times things have to build and be created and evolved. You know what I mean? Like with me and my wifey, you know, we met as friends. You know, I wasn't trying to holler at her. Like initially I was like dating somebody else and I was getting ready to do Any Given Sunday and I was off to do a big movie and I met her in a real way, like in a class. And she was a cool girl. She was in my class. I opted into the class because I was brushing up on my skills because I'm going over there to mess with Al Pacino and them, and I ain't going in there rusty.
And you was in the best shape of your life.
Yeah, I'm in the best shape of my life.
And I heard, I saw a tweet about this, the dude that liked her before you got her, he's working at Carl's Jr.
Yeah, he's at Carl's Jr. he's in that drive-thru. No. But I'm saying, like, I'm using myself as an example. It was like an old-school kind of way. You meet somebody, you kind of like them, but you're not knowing. You go away, you call here and there, you talk, and you guys become friends. The next thing you know, you guys like each other, right? Yeah. Now, I mean, like, I ran into one of my homeboys.
But that's what I'm saying,
They meet on Tinder, like, she's 4 miles away.
And this is exactly my point,
ass is on the way.
But that's exactly
what the hell
my
is
point.
That?
That's how they get them into the building. You're saying it's like you meet your wife, you have conversation. There's something that draws you. It's like you might get to that, but that's not the thing that's right up front.
Yeah, that's not off the gate.
And,
that's
I'm saying that's why all these girls are now like
corny as hell. Now.
That's up front.
Nah.
And that's why I'm saying that's what it is. Like they play it cheap.
Well, I mean, you know what? You're right, but I just think that, you know, some of the old school stuff is kind of cool, you know.
It's very
cool. Like cats don't write letters no more, you know what I'm saying?
I know,
you ain't really trying to romance a chick no more. Cats ain't, I mean, I'm going to do some of this in my act, like, you know, like talking about how cats used to have to romance a girl.
Yeah.
Like you had to have something to say.
Yeah.
You know, that's why we used to say, like in New York, you say, yo, man, you got to have a script, man. You got to be able to shoot that script.
Because,
you know, you got to be able to talk to a female. You know, you just can't LOL your way out of
it. You had to rap. That's
you
got to
have a rap to her, man. You got to say, go over there and rap to her for some, say something, man.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Right. Talking was a requirement.
Yeah, you got to talk, man.
Yeah.
And you better be nice with that.
Yeah.
And this is how I became really good talking to females was I always pretended I was the ugly dude. Because I always felt like the ugly dude has no fear.
Wow.
I said, you know what? You got to be the underdog. The underdog don't get fucked about getting shot down.
Right.
You go through 5 chicks in the club, they shoot you down. There got to be one more in the bathroom.
What was one of your early, you know, step twos? Like, what would you say?
I was never a prop, you know, kind of stock dude.
Yeah.
Yo, baby, you an angel, you know, corny ass shit. I never said nothing like that. I always thought, you know, just conversation. Hey, how are you?
Yeah.
Hello, it's nice. It's the beginning of everything.
Yeah.
You know, hey, what's your name? Oh, I just saw you over there, you know, and I was just wondering, you know, what you in town for? What's going on? Oh, well, this is your girl. Oh, how y'all doing? And just start talking, you know.
Yeah.
And once I get, you know, comfortable and she's comfortable, now you like got things in common. Oh, you're from Philly? Yeah, my cousins live out there or whatever. And you had to have conversation.
Yeah.
So I thought that was a really nice thing. When I think back, now it's corny.
Yeah.
But, you know, I like to communicate.
Well, you're going to spend, if you want to be around a woman, you're going to spend more time talking than doing anything else.
Yeah, I definitely want to smash, too, though.
That's a prerequisite. You know, it helps important. If you like her, yeah.
You know, I like you, too, but I want to smash.
I'm talking. Get that out. Went now.
Let's be honest. I'm only talking to you to smash.
Who you turning into?
Do a little bit of Tracy over there.
Talk to myself.
Right.
That's Tracy. Yeah.
I got mirrors for that.
Yeah. Well, over here. Are we not going to smash?
It's just sad, man. Like I look at it, and I do. I feel bad for the women now because they have actually grown accustomed to treating themselves poorly.
Well, you know what, Allie, we ain't going to be able to save the game.
Right.
You know, it's just rough, man. You know, you just kind of got to navigate through it and you have some. It's about your. You know what it is? It's about your ecosystem.
Right.
Right. Each
with
person.
A C.
Yeah, this is your ecosystem. The reason why I call it your ecosystem, your own personal system, your environment that you can control, right? Mm-hmm. You got to control what is coming in and out of your personal space. And I think women have to do that as well as guys on how they're going to protect the ecosystem,
right?
You can't be hanging around trash and expect your ecosystem to blossom.
Right.
You got to start, you know, nurturing it, you know, what you want around you. That's by the people you associate with, how you associate with them. And that's how you can flourish, I think. And getting back to you, you know, if you just doing anything and random and just wilding, man, you just going to crash. You can't. That's nothing.
You can't sustain it.
Right, it's not sustainable.
Right,
you got
bad
gas, your carburetor. Carburetor jumping, man, your spark plug's missing. Right.
Won't turn over.
You won't.
Right.
Man, let me. Put some on there.
You got cables. You got your alternator.
Yeah, that's your alternator, man. You got to change that too. Muffler
fault is dead.
All right, Bill Bellamy is a busy man.
Yeah.
You leaving town tonight?
Yeah. I'm getting ready. Yeah. When it's by the time this air, I'll probably be in Japan. I'm on my way home.
What are you doing in Japan?
I am. I'm going over to perform for the troops. I'm doing.
What's the base?
I know I'm doing Okinawa.
Fort Japan.
I'm doing 6 different bases in Japan. First stop is Okinawa, though.
Okay.
And then we're going to bounce around. Each day is a travel day, so we'll perform like Friday, then we'll do like a Sunday, and then
I used to have those weekends, man, when I traveled with Mac.
Yeah.
Just on a plane.
Yeah,
town,
we just jumping.
Plane,
we just jumping.
So yeah.
They're going to love to see him.
Yeah, it's going
to
be crazy.
Now, you got do you take somebody with you?
Yeah, I got D-Lay, one of my top 5 comics on the team. He's a really dope guy, good guy. And we're going to go over there. We're going to film some stuff as well.
Why'd you pick him to go with you?
Well, he's explosive, and he's just a beast, man. I found this cat, man, about 3-4 years ago, who's got jokes. And I knew he had it. He got that thing. You know, he got that spark. Some people say, yo, he like a young Tommy Davidson. Like, he got that energy. Like, he definitely got ADD, I think.
That was the young brother that was in here earlier.
Yeah. Very good personality. He's actually was in the military, too. So I thought that would be a nice little tie-in.
So he can speak their language.
Yeah, so he's going to be able to really crack it. And, you know, it'll be a good time. But, you know, he's been just doing great, man. He did the Ladies Night Out tour. I did this documentary film with him.
I know,
him.
That was great. I love it.
It was real cool. Yeah. He was on there. And then
I like what you did with that, because it was a flip on that type of show.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, a lot of guys, you know, get the opportunity to come on and basically be the host and present some of the talent that they like.
Yeah.
But I kind of liked the way you did, a nice little personal touch. It was
like to take
you're
you into
a personable
the world.
Guy.
Well, I just thought that because nobody knows these cats, you know. I know them, but, you know, America didn't know them. So I was like, I got to tell their story so that they could get on that page. Like, yo, he's just not no random dude.
Right.
Like, there's a reason why I picked him. Right. And once I tell his story, you're going to be like, wow.
It's like American Idol or any one of those shows. You always know when somebody they behind because they tell the story.
Yeah,
if they just let you come out there and sing.
Here go Jerry.
You ain't going to laugh.
Oh, yeah, he right. gone. after the commercial, it's a wrap.
But when they do the back, it's like, oh, they sent the crew out for them. They got
they got cameras with them going to get ice cream.
Motherfuckers with signs with their names on it. Damn. Yeah. I got signs made.
So we're going to continue to, support the troops and do that. And then also when I come back, I'm going to be taping my last probably like 45 shows of Last America, Let's Ask America, because we did a total of 150.
Damn. Mm-hmm.
So right now I'm kind of like around 70.
Wow.
And whatever. And then also too, Mr. Box Office just came back up, so I'm doing that as well.
Nice.
And in the fall, I'm shooting another hour special. So I'm like really, really, you know, kind of booked till the end of the year. I don't know what 2015 is going to hold, except for I got this movie coming called The Bounce Back that I shot with Shamar Moore and Nadine Velasquez and Michael Beach and Denise Boutte. We just really hit it, man. It's a romantic comedy about bouncing back from a heartbreak.
Right.
And, you know, it's a really sweet story. So hopefully people like that, too. Like, you just don't know. You just do the work.
Yeah, you just put
so, you know, Ali, you know, I got to work with you again.
I know, man. We got to figure it out.
I miss you, man.
I know, man.
You're my dude, man.
So fucking
you're very,
funny.
Very talented, brother, man. That. And people don't even tell. You know he was a stand-up first.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I know.
He don't tell people, but I know his history.
All them jokes ain't just randomly popping out his head. He's like, I know what I'm talking about. And I like that you are doing this podcast, and you picked a great, great person in Owen Smith. He's just a good person, you know, funny guy and talent, recognized talent. I'm really happy for you guys, and I thank you for having me. And hopefully I could come back again when
you got some time.
Yeah, like when I come back and I got some stuff to drop on y'all, like, you know what I'm saying? I feel like a rapper, like, you know, you know what I'm saying? My joint about to drop 2015. We in a lab. I got meth on there.
Bella Fella's real son.
Bella, my word. You know what I mean?
My word,
Bella.
B.
Got my people, you know what I mean? We turn up.
Bella. Bill Bellamy, y'all.
Thank you, man.
Not like we got to tell people, but where are you? All the internets.
Here we go, y'all. Y'all want to catch up to Bill Bellamy? Want to get a part of the team, Bellamy? You hit me on Twitter. Hit me on Twitter at Bill Bellamy. If you want to come to my website, it's at BillBellamy.com. On Facebook, I'm at Bill Bellamy VIP. And on Instagram, I'm at Bill Bellamy. So in case you can't spell, it's Bill Bellamy!
Thank you.
Bellamy, y'all. Yay!
Yeah.
I keep it simple.
Bella Fella.
What we tell you? There you go. Bella Fella.
Bella Fella.
Come on, man. Right?
That's funny. That is funny.
Yeah. Like I coined the phrase. Funny.
Bella Fella.
Put a twist on it.
Yeah, man.
I'm good for that sort of thing.
That was a good one.
Give you a little idea
Bella
here.
Fella.
A little idea.
Yeah, man. He's putting together a strong crew, man. That dude.
Bellamy. Bella Fella crew.
Funny, man.
Well, I mean, you know, it's I like it when trying to be creative, stay creative, make opportunities for yourself, but still being able to bring other people along for the ride and then turn that into something. It's like, yeah, you know, it is a way of reinvigorating who you are.
Yeah.
And also, you know, it's like, yeah, you do have influence. You do have power. You do have the ability to bring some people along for the ride and turn that into something. So it's always cool. So you never hurt yourself.
No.
By being generous in that way.
Yeah, being unselfish, man.
Yeah.
It's not, you don't have to be, you know, me. And being unselfish, it is about you. I mean, it's like.
Well, I mean, you still get it.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, the funny thing is that, I mean, I'll never forget about being on Chris's show when we were doing HBO, was it's the Chris Rock show.
Right, at the end of the day.
So even though they're seeing Wanda or Louis or Lance, you know, in some instances me or whatever, we're just people that are doing good shit on the Chris Rock show. Mm-hmm. And that's where you have to go to get it. So, you know, he was never going, oh, that's a good joke. I'm going to take that one. You go sit down. He never really approached it like that. He was always dishing. He was always handing it off because people come to you and they remember you for another discovery. They remember you for introducing them to somebody, you know, so they still, you know, there's always still that connection.
Right.
You know, you may certainly go on and do, you know, any one of a number of things, but still people remember this, like, I came to you through this door, you know. And so for all the guys that Bill is working with, and, you know, and hopefully some of those guys are able to go on and do some great things, you know, that he can go, yeah, go ahead and take it for a minute.
Right.
It's not going to hurt me.
Well, people don't know about Bill, too, man, is he's incredible with impressions. His impression game is
He got to hear some of it.
You heard
it.
I had no idea.
Dude, his Denzel is sick. He could do, it's crazy. And he's a really solid actor, man. Like, I don't know. If you go see his stand-up now, you'll see he's starting to, like, weave his impressions in.
Right, just a touch.
It's so funny.
Right.
Yeah.
Just a touch.
But, dude, it's like, you're like, what? I know you did this.
When Bill did Are We There Yet.
Yeah.
Possibly.
Uh-huh.
My single favorite line from the entire 100 episodes that we did happened in that show.
Wow.
And it was Terry, because if you didn't see this episode, you know, I mean, you know, and who knows, you'll stumble on it one day. But in the episode, Bill Bellamy plays like a sports agent who likes Gigi, right? And I think Essence's character sees him out with
somebody else.
No. Terry's character sees him out with this other girl,
chick, right?
And the chick and him are just real close. They cuddle up, they hug, and they're kissing, they all up in each other, you know, that kind of thing. And I based it on, I based it on Angelina Jolie,
who had, I guess, this really crazy close relationship with her brother. Mm-hmm. Right.
Right. Uh-huh. Right.
So Bill's got this other, you know, this other girl, and Terry doesn't know that this girl is his sister. That they're hugging and kissing and real close.
Yeah.
Right. And so he's trying to determine whether or not he's going to tell, you know, his wife, and then she's going to tell Gigi that the dude that you're fooling around with, this top flight sports agent, right, you know, is fooling around on you with his other chick.
Right.
So, you know, that you know, he kind of puts it out there. Terry kind of puts it out there, and it comes back to Gigi. She gets mad. Mm-hmm. They want to split up. Mm-hmm. And then the sports agent finds out that Terry told. And he's and he's like, that girl that I was hugging up, he's like, that's my sister.
Right.
And he's like, I don't get that. He's like, why would you go out and tell somebody that I was hugging and kissing on somebody and doing all that? That was just wrong. And Terry goes, it's unusual, man.
I remember that, yeah.
Yeah. It's unusual,
man. Yeah.
But it was the way he leaned into it. It's unusual.
Yeah.
Literally, probably my single favorite line.
Wow.
And I that's a hard thing.
Yeah. 100 episodes?
One line.
There you go.
It's unusual. Man, that there shit was funny.
And Bill was in that.
Bill was in it.
There you go.
He was good. Always in the coolest shit, man.
Yeah.
Like, over his career.
Right, right.
Come on, man. It's like... Janet and it's something
Jackson,
about him,
man.
Too. I know Janet Jackson, Michael. Something about him, too, that I didn't notice. I didn't know him before. You know, like, when you're with Bill, when you leave, you feel better. It's not something he consciously does. You just go, hey, man, that was fun.
That was fun.
Right.
Yeah. You
just feel right. better.
Lift right. up a little bit.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
Right.
That's so a good thing.
That's a good thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Good way to be. A good thing to have.
Yeah, he could be cussing you out. You know what I mean? I've never seen him do it. I'm just saying.
Right.
He could be cussing, telling you, you'll still feel better. if you have to have somebody cuss you out.
You put a smile on the end of it. It's just like,
you have to have somebody cuss you out. Yeah.
All right, so we're going to have to get Bill back and get some of them impressions.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hear a little bit of that.
Yeah, let him stretch out a little bit. But thank you for that hour, man. That was great.
Yeah, that was very, very cool. Hope everything went well overseas.
Yeah.
Get back. Don't bring Ebola with you.
No Ebola.
Yeah.
Follow. Have some Janet Jackson stories.
What is Bill? He's at Bill Bellamy. Did we cover all of
Bill
that?
Bellamy on Instagram.
Yeah.
Follow that. That'll take you to everything. And then he said his other stuff. His Facebook.
Yeah.
Google
Bellamy,
him.
VIP, I believe, on Facebook. Yeah, and all that. Yeah,
Google
Bill
Bellamy.
Google Bill Bellamy.
Yeah, The black Will Smith.
Dark skin Will. He can act too, man. Don't sleep. Bill's doing it. Yeah.
I like the story about Fastlane, man. I asked him that, and I wasn't thinking of asking him, but it's just like I always like hearing how people deal with
this
emotional, real business career.
Yeah.
And they're not setbacks in the sense that, like I said, you're being derailed. I mean, he even said it himself. He's like, yeah, I had some money in the bank. I'm doing okay.
Right.
But yeah, it is. It's just an emotional thing. And you just get knocked off of it for a second. It's like, I thought I was going, you know, to the right and bam, shit went left.
Right.
And, you know, and so now is what it is. Owen is yawning.
What was that? I wasn't yawning at that. It just came out of nowhere.
I didn't think it was personal.
Yeah, please don't.
All right. No. I didn't take it like that. Yeah. All right. So what you got, Kali? You got a...
Huh? Everybody, huh? Nah. What you got, Kylie?
Feature beat. Well, you know, we were talking about Janet Jackson, so they got a feature Janet Jackson with Q-Tip. This is a Ferris remix of Got Till It's Gone.
Joni Mitchell never lied.
I know. It's just all kinds. It's all over the place.
There you go.
Joni Mitchell, Q-Tip, Ferris, Janet Jackson.
Got Till It's Gone.
Yeah, man. It's all happening.
I know, right?
It's all happening.
All right.
There you go.
That's what we do. This is what it is. Follow, subscribe.
Yes.
And we'll see
Comment,
you next time.
Tweet.
Talk to you or something like that.
Deuces.
No.
Bye. Thank you. This episode of Alias Smith and the Roy, compliments of Producers Guild of America.